Chapter 5. A Change of Plan. Tom walked quickly into the studio where Dickie was painting.
"Want to go to Paris in a coffin?" he asked.
"What?"
said Dickie, looking up from his picture.
"I've been talking to an Italian man in Giorgio's. We'd get 100,000 lira each. I think it's a way of getting drugs there. He said there would be 3 coffins, and there would be a real dead person in the 3rd coffin. They would put drugs inside that person. We would get the trip, the money, and the experience. What do you think?"
There was a strange smile on Dickie's face, as if he thought Tom was joking.
"I'm serious," said Tom.
Then Dickie's look changed.
"Are you sure this man hadn't taken drugs himself? He's probably just a dirty crook. If you want to do it, then go ahead, but I don't."
Tom suddenly felt anger rise in his blood.
"In October, when we went to Rome, you would have thought this thing was fun," he said.
"Oh, I don't think so," replied Dickie angrily.
Tom suddenly wanted to leave Dickie. He did not like the arrogant way he said crook, like Dickie was above the other man just because he was wealthy. But then, Tom's anger suddenly left him. He wanted to make it up, but did not know what to say. Dickie stared back at him with eyes that were empty and cold, and Tom suddenly felt an awful pain in his chest. They were not friends. They did not know each other, and it was the same for every person he had known and would ever know. He had failed.
"I think I'm going to go and see Marge for a while," Dickie said flatly and walked out.
After Dickie had left, Tom went to the post office to get his post. There was a letter from Mr. Greenleaf.
"My dear Tom, as you have been with Dickie for over a month, and he shows no signs of coming home, I can see you haven't been successful. I want you to know that my wife and I send our thanks for trying so hard, but we feel it is time to stop now. I hope that you have enjoyed the trip to Italy, despite everything. With thanks, H.R. Greenleaf."
Tom walked slowly back up the hill. It was the end of the story. He knew it. He imagined Dickie and Marge's conversation. Tom knew what Marge would say. "Why don't you just tell him to go?" When Dickie came home, Tom did not show him his father's letter. Instead, he said,
"Do you think Marge would come up to Paris with us when we go?"
Dickie looked surprised.
"I think she would."
"Well, ask her," Tom said cheerfully.
"But I don't know if I should go up to Paris," Dickie said slowly. "I'd like to get away for a few days, but Paris..."
He lit a cigarette.
"I'd be just as happy to go up to San Remo. It's a lot closer."
"But when will we go to Paris?"
"I don't know. Anytime. You go there if you want."
Tom listened to Dickie's tone. He felt sure that Mr. Greenleaf had told Dickie that he was tired of Tom and thought he was just using his money to have a good time. Only the other day, Dickie had asked Tom if he was going home for Christmas, knowing that he did not have a home to go to. It had been a hint that he should leave. He knew it.
"Well, I suppose we'll go to San Remo instead then," Tom said.
But instead, he could have cried, and his hands were shaking.
"All right," said Dickie.
Marge did not want to come with them to San Remo. She was having a good run on her book.
"But please, can you try to find me that perfume, Dickie?" she said. "You know, the Stradivari one I couldn't find in Naples."
They took only one suitcase of Dickie's with them, because they only planned to be away for 3 nights and 4 days. Dickie was a bit happier now, but the awful feeling that this would be their final trip together was still there. Tom had never felt like a boring guest before, but this was how Dickie made him feel now. He stared at Dickie's rings and listened to him chat on about how small San Remo was and how he had spent a week there once with Freddie Miles. Then, as the train was coming into the town, he suddenly said,
"By the way, Tom, I hope you don't mind terribly, but I think I'd like to go to Cortina with Marge this winter. You know, alone. You can't ski anyway, can you?"
Tom's body immediately went stiff, but he tried not to show it.
"Of course," he said,
then nervously looked at the map he was holding. But Dickie was already pulling their suitcase down.
"We're not far from Nice, are we?" Tom asked.
"No."
"And Cannes. I'd like to see Cannes. At least it's in France."
"Well, let's go then. You brought your passport, didn't you?"
Tom had brought his passport, so they took a train and arrived there at 11 that night. Tom thought Cannes was beautiful, with its long line of expensive hotels looking out over the water. Dickie chose a smaller hotel on a back street, the Grey d'Albion. It was nice enough, but if Tom had chosen, he would have gone to one on the seafront. They had breakfast at a cafe the next morning, then walked down to the sea. It was cool, but not too cool for swimming. The beach was almost empty, except for a group of men in yellow G-strings who were playing some kind of strange game. As he and Dickie came closer, Tom could see that they were acrobats.
"Look," cried Tom, "they're building a human tower."
He and Dickie watched as the men climbed on each other's shoulders. When the last one, a boy of about 17, reached the top and put his arms in the air, Tom clapped his hands together.
"Well done,"
he shouted, and the boy smiled and waved back at him. Then, Tom turned and saw the strange look that Dickie was giving him. He clearly thought the acrobats were gay. Maybe Cannes was full of gay people, but so what? Tom realized his body was stiff with anger. Dickie stood with his arms folded.
"Are you going to swim?" Tom asked.
"I don't think so,"
Dickie said.
"Why don't you stay here and watch the acrobats in their G-strings? I'm going back."
Then, he turned and started walking toward the hotel before Tom could answer. They left for San Remo that afternoon, and Dickie let Tom pay the hotel bill. Tom had also bought their train tickets, although Dickie had just cashed one of his trust fund checks and had plenty of money with him. On the train, Dickie rested back his head and closed his eyes, saying nothing. Tom stared at his arrogant, handsome face and was filled with a mix of crazy emotions. He felt insulted and wanted to kill Dickie. It was not the first time he had thought of it. The idea had come to him 2 or 3 times before and had lasted just a second or two before leaving him ashamed. But now he thought about it for a full 2 minutes,
because he was leaving Dickie anyway, and why should he be ashamed anymore? He hated Dickie. He had wanted to be his friend, but Dickie had rejected him. He was pushing Tom out into the cold. If he killed Dickie on this trip, Tom thought, he could just say that an accident had happened. Then, suddenly, a brilliant idea came to Tom. He could become Dickie Greenleaf himself. They looked so much like each other. He even fitted Dickie's clothes. He would not be able to live in a place where Dickie had actually known people, of course. And his hair was a bit darker than Dickie's, but he could make it lighter. Then, he could use Dickie's passport and do everything that Dickie did. He could go and get Dickie's things from Mongibello, tell Marge a stupid story, and then get an apartment in Rome or Paris. He could receive Dickie's check every month and forge his signature. The danger of it suddenly made Tom feel excited. And then, slowly, he began to think of how.